Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. So it starts right here, right now. It is the 7th day of August, 2019. I'm your host, Corey Lane. We go until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Technical operator and producer, that will be John the Lion Stout. What's on my mind? What's on yours? All the lights are going, so who cares about what's on my mind? I like to go straight to the lines, but there's just one thing I want to raise, and that is a very difficult topic to raise from time to time, and that is really inmate rights. You know, after someone goes off to prison, many of us believe that not only should they be stripped of their freedom, but they should be stripped of their rights. And I think that there comes a point where we have to draw the line and ask ourselves the question, are we for human rights or not? And I will admit, I am no saint figure, no angel. At times, I do have those thoughts when I look at some of these stories that cause people to be in prison. And I too say, I serve you right. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I don't share the thoughts of many of you. But some relatives and friends of those incarcerated have been contacting me recently, probably for obvious reasons, because they know the thoughts that I share and my beliefs of our justice system, and that I do understand that many of those convicted as criminals double as victims, and they are victims first. But it is my understanding, and I will have to get official word on this, that many of those parents have been paying in money to what is called canteen up there. And those funds have not been going to canteen. They have not, the inmates have not received canteen for the last 4 months, allegedly, by one of the relatives. And then they're saying that the money is going directly to the treasury. So during the program, I just got another call on my way here. So during the program, I'm trying to reach someone in official capacity and see what is the word there. Now, I know that's not a topic that would excite many, because as I say, we as a Christian society, a forgiving, loving society, we, a lot of us hold in the back of our minds that serve them right. My concern with that, though, on a broader level, is the fact that we have a lot of persons who are raised in very difficult circumstances that don't commit crime. And there are some who are raised in very difficult circumstances and do commit crime. And my concern is that if they have a very hard struggle in life, they go through a very hard school system, a very hard community, and then we put them in prison and then punish them and release them, I want you to add that 1 + 1 + 1 and tell me if you don't get 3. I got 3. Did you get 3? This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The number to call, 434-1790. 434, that's 1790. And send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. We say good morning to the first caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you and yours?
We are kicking alive and above ground. Or the other way around, above ground and kicking.
The 11 pulling off things off the table and the...
Yes, and I know that you're very happy about that. Don't forget marking up the wall and the ground and the cushions too.
Oh, that's part of growing up, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That way you always try to tell these young people, whenever you can, enjoy it. No, stop trying to be forced right men and women, because there's no second chance at this.
I find that's really changing now, though. When I was very young, I remember my peers, we wanted to be, well, them, not me, I had a little more sense, wanted to be big men and women. And a lot of adults were saying, you know, this thing is so highly overrated when you look at the responsibility that you have to carry and the bills and so on. And I believed them.
Yes.
And then we see a movement now, P, where a lot of young people know, because of the hip-hop culture, they believe in this thing forever young. So they actually understand it's very good to be young, young, wild, and free.
I can speak to what you just said, because when I was growing up as a child, I wanted to become a man. And the main reason was to do as I like, not realizing then that when you become a man, you still can't do as you like. As a matter of fact, just like you said, your responsibilities. After your dad thought that little child was giving his mother trouble, and I tell him, when you turn on the electrician, you'll go up here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you beg him, go up here for it. Then you'll go up here for it.
They got some parents, well, some children, or parents that bring their children to me, talk to them, and so on. So I do that because my mommy do that, and she's do that too. My father's do that too. I said, them is pay bills. You pay bills too. If you want, copy what they're doing in the house. Copy everything. Don't copy some. Copy all. Copy all.
Every parent get their money to go on pay them. So far, in my talking to young people, I've never been met with any resistance. Never pretend to listen to me. If only somebody does, will do the same thing too. No, I am not going into specifics of this. But because of certain happening, I sent this man if it appeared to be abiding by law. I'm not going into this specific. None. I just dropping the idea, whoever wants, take it up. Can take it up. Now, over the years, a lot of government workers have been getting the bashing, a lot of criticism. And the sad thing about it, when people are criticizing, they don't say some government workers. They give the impression that all, right? I know of 3 people who work at the Ministry of Public Works who pulled their pockets to help an elderly gentleman. They did things that the welfare department should have been doing. I know it. I know what I see. I was told not to mention the names, but I can mention one. And the one that I want to mention is me. Work in the rain to do a lot of things. It's a pity that all negativity is highlighted and given front page news. I recently had a little problem with national insurance. I went in there with blood and sand in my eyes. That's the truth. Vet. I happened to butt up on a young man named Dale. And during the first few seconds of the conversation, it didn't end in vets no more. It's how you handle people, how you relate to people.
But P, you're not a case of the pot calling the kettle black. You call here with the most negativity.
I understand to say.
Right, but that's what happened. You see, what happened is the good takes care of itself, so people will highlight negative issues. People complain about this program, have more complaints. But if something's hunky-dory with people, why would they call? So you will more get complaints on a station like this.
The reason, I don't know about other callers, but I can speak for me. And if you notice, I will speak about something until I see something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I speak about things because I want to see them rectified.
Yep.
And I'm not like most barbarians who hop there, and hop all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like that. I want to see. Now, my main reason to criticize is not to put down people, you know. But that they will hear the criticisms and do what is right. That's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people, some callers, one who comes to mind, one call his name, he is so hell-bent criticizing me, even when I do good.
There will always be those people, though. But as you said before, and I like it, that you use that for your motivation, that you use that to keep going. And I think that that is the best way to approach those situations.
But you know the sad thing about it? When he's proven to be wrong, you come on the program, usually they're ready after me. Don't ever say sorry. But I can say this. Being a mature person is not, or being an adult is not only because of an ID card. A lot of people who have ID cards don't know what it is to be mature. But one of the main things of maturity is when you are wrong, to come publicly or tell the person that you have wrong, you're sorry. And you know that I've done that
numerous occasions.
On this program.
I can right? vouch for that, P. Are we going to use that? I hope he uses that as when I say he, I mean in terms of the public, we use that as an example, because I tell people all the time off air, and I'll say on air now, there's a lot to be learned from callers. Callers coming in here and sharing their experiences, their feelings, and so on. There's a lot that you can extrapolate and apply to your own life. Take the positive, leave the negative.
This plan of inquiry.
Closing, yes.
I am not always right, and I don't know everything.
No one is, and no one does be. So that's a moot point.
There's some who think that they know everything. But let me tell you something. You can learn from a baby.
Correct.
Have a nice day.
You have a nice day, too. 30 minutes after 10, Don't the Brass Stocks, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, for the past, I think it's about from 2 Sundays ago, there were news, and the news in the United States has been talking about mass shootings. The first one was at, they call it a garlic festival in Northern Florida, California, and 3 people were killed because of this gunman with an assault rifle. The next one took place Saturday about 10 o'clock. And that one was in the place in El Paso, Texas. And the death toll is now 22 people and 24 injured. And then before the sunrise the next day, about 2 o'clock, in Dayton, Ohio, 9 people were killed with this mass shooting by someone. Well, the one in El Paso, which is interesting.
It went up by 2, because I think 2 of the persons critically injured.
No, it went up by that, but I don't need 2. Yeah. I don't need 2 already.
No, it actually went to 31. That's the last count I heard, but continue.
But 22 and 9.
Mm-hmm. Right, 31. Right.
I mean, I call it morning, noon, and night.
Yes.
Right, so the numbers that were wounded in Texas with 26, they come down to 24. And the ones that
I told to them.
But the one in Texas, the killer gave up himself. Mm-hmm. He got arrested without a scratch. But all the policemen that there that could have rid of him a bullet, he didn't get one shot. And he gave up. No, I am saying that the problem with the mass shootings, why the United States is the place with these kinds of things, is because of the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which gives the citizens the right to bear arms. That is a right. There's a constitutional right they have.
Don't take this comment the wrong way, but what would be the purpose of discussing that? I know one purpose, but I want to ask you, because you're the person who raised it. What would be the purpose of discussing that, particularly the Second Amendment, on a Barbadian calling radio show?
But I want to discuss, I am discussing the mass killings in the United States where plenty of Belgians and other people in the world
Thank you.
Like to hate them.
Thank you. And we have a lot of friends there. We have a lot of family. We got a lot of remittances from there.
I got relatives there. I got one niece that is a detective in New York, and I got a brother who is a policeman also in New York. So a lot of us have family in the United States. But I am saying a lot of people don't understand the Second Amendment gives the citizens the right to bear arms. In Barbados, we don't have something like that in the Constitution. In most countries, we don't have that. If we want to purchase a gun in Barbados, the first thing I got to do is apply for a permit from the police. A permit to purchase the gun. And then after you purchase the gun, you have a short time to have it licensed. That is very... So that is why I'm saying that the mass shootings, it would get to be more prevalent in the United States of America because we come up as children and we hear about the Wild West.
My thing is, I like practicality. And one of the things that I would shy away from is looking at things like the Second Amendment and so on. Because if you follow U.S. politics, you will know that within the last 20 years, they've not been able to pass any major regulation on guns for obvious reasons, the lobbies and so on. What would be more relevant to Barbadian listeners per se, and even those in the diaspora, is that how can we protect our loved ones over there? How can they protect themselves? What are some of the things they can look for? You know, and I think that the same way they have fire drills and so on, they're going to have to be active shooter drills. They're going to be active shooter precautions that you can take. Be aware, your head must be on a swivel when you're out in the public in the United States. Because every time there's a shooting like this, we go to Facebook and we see our families marking themselves safe because they want for us to know that they are okay. And that's the extent that it applies to us. Because the question that I asked you earlier, I'm now being flooded with those same questions on the WhatsApp and on the chat as well.
Funny enough. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The people don't know that the Constitution, which is the second, yeah, that's why America have so many guns.
But who don't know that? Players. Who don't know that, T?
But they who don't.
People know that because they that. Argue it that we will not put down our guns because the Second Amendment, and of course the Republicans, that is their chant, backed by the NRA.
The Democrats, you've gone leaning one side.
No, I ain't leaning. I'm telling you that I follow this thing
right,
as
what,
well.
What
as a student of political science.
Talk about the mass killings. The mass killings in the United States. If you want to talk about the Republicans and the Democrats,
I mentioned Republicans and you jumping on that. I don't want to mention that. Frankly, I don't want to talk about any of it.
But listen, but this is going off nearly 200 years. Mm-hmm. The Americans, the European Americans, Europeans went to America and killed off the Indians with guns. They're the ones with the guns, and I am saying that the Second Amendment gives them the right to bear arms. And with that, you have a nice day here.
All right, you have a nice day too as good. Well. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Are you getting very aggressive? Have you been talking to you? Start talking to you yet? Here's the thing. Flag, anthem, you know, oath of office, pledge of allegiance, all these fancy stuff. When you really sound good. But to whom is the benefit? Who benefits from all of this? Let me put this thing in context. Barbados is a quarter of a million people. A quarter of a million. In fact, let me put everybody in the entire English-speaking Caribbean together. Everybody that speaks English, including Bahamas and all that up in there. We probably get about 4.5 million people. Look, let me throw in the French-speaking people. Guadeloupe, Martinique, that's another 900,000. Haiti, all right. Throw in Haiti, Dominican Republic of, what is that one called, DR, Dominican Republic, put all of them together, including the Dutch people, you probably come up to about 36, 37 million people. All them people speaking French, Dutch, English in the Caribbean. Haiti, Dominican Republic, Cuba, another 10 million, becoming about 30, 37 million people total. Total. And that's not a big law number. We got a man coming here this afternoon from a place called Kenya. Kenya! No, I have to admit, Venezuela is 20 million people. But let me left Venezuela. Let me try Belize. Kenya has 50 million people. That's one country. 50 million people. And when you put all the French, Spanish, Dutch, English, everybody from the Caribbean together, you can't even gap in that kind of number. One man leading 50 million people. 23 different tribes. About 50 different sub-tribes. All of whom speak different languages, different culture, eat different food, they even look Maasai, look different to anybody else. Different dance, different everything. One man in control of all of that. I mean, I like to speak to this man and ask him about how he made that happen. How is it that he makes that happen? One flag, one anthem, one pledge of allegiance, one oath of office, one set of lawyers, one set of judges, one attorney general, one... 19 cabinet ministers, by the way. Only 19, not 26. 19 cabinet ministers. And he's coming here this afternoon. I would like to meet that individual. Because we got to learn something about this whole process. Who benefits from all this? We got, well, how many flags we got knocking about here? About 25 different flags and anthems and all this fancy stuff. And we got one man coming here with only one flag, one anthem, one oath of office, one chief justice, one set of laws. Huh? Who benefits from these separate flags? Barbados only got four tribes, you know. He got 23 tribes to deal with. We only got four tribes. The white tribe, the black tribe, the people in between, you know, all the mixed up colors and the ones that wear the mask or the pajamas and things. And the lawyer tribe, the legal fraternity tribe, the smallest tribe of all four.
And
they're the ones
there.
Calling the shots. They're the ones who actually determine whether or not we should have a flag or not. The ones who created the parties that we're going to suffer with these days. The ones who determine the laws that we have to abide by. The ones who determine the same justice system that nobody seems to understand does it really work for us or not. The ones who determine that they got a Supreme Court that people have a real problem with, so much so that people used to pack up a leave boat here about 4 or 5 years ago because they couldn't get anything going through that particular court. That particular tribe has been running things about here for 50 years. I wonder, can't spot it. They don't work in your interest. Have they ever actually worked in your interest? You try to employ them in a private capacity because they like to talk on your behalf. You go and pay them and say, I want you to speak for me. Not in Parliament. Speak for me in court. You can't pay them. They're too expensive.
But I think you're oversimplifying that part because...
Well, that's fine. You can speak,
but if you go to court and try to represent yourself on certain things, you will trip up every step of the way because the way of the legal language is written. People hire them because they know where the loopholes are. People hire them because they know the procedure of the court. People hire them because they understand the law. That is their forte. I'm not defending it. I don't know why you're giving this man credit of having 50 million people under him or we having 23 different nations around us. But you know that all of these systems are inherited. And the important word you have to insert there is continue. He continues to have this. We continue to do this because we inherited all of this. And the only way to change, just like in those regions change, is blood in the street. And you know that. You follow the history.
The reason why you have to employ these people in an environment that they have created is because the same language that you have to use to defend yourself is the language that they also created. They have confiscated it. They have made it so complex to make very simple. They use double negatives. They use archaic English. Whatever is required to make whatever they're saying sound profound. They
you've
have
said
that
here
so
a million times. What next?
No, because I don't know what you're
so what do we
here.
Do? I'm not defending. I am moving on. I am not defending. I am moving on.
If you have to solve a problem, the first approach in solving a problem is recognizing
okay,
what
we
is.
Recognize it. So that's what I'm asking you. That's first
it?
Gear.
The
you're putting a long
what
one. What is the second gear? Yes, exactly. What are we going to do about it now? I'm asking you.
I don't believe people fully appreciate how much we have been managed.
We appreciate that. We have challenged the system. We've challenged the system. Why it is I can buy a $300,000 car and don't have a lawyer and can buy $50,000 in land and have to have a lawyer. People ask those questions. Why must we have a lawyer involved in all of these systems? What next?
I mean, what next?
You're going to blow the gasket. You are first gear time. What next? What second gear?
Okay, look, the second gear is understanding that if it is that the two parties we are faced with have been designed and developed by the same fraternity, are being run by the same fraternity. Even if you put a school teacher there, or you put an economist there, at the end of the day, the fraternity determines that he's there for a particular reason. If you recognize that these two parties in particular are designed, developed, brought to the public based on whatever this fraternity believes is important, what is not, maybe it's time to start ignoring them. Maybe it's time to recognize that what they're doing, the things that they are saying, the developments that they have brought to the public, really.
I just say that we recognize that. Recognition is gear one. That is one. We recognize that.
No, but you're speaking for yourself. Who are you speaking
you
for?
Recognize it and I recognize it. That's
no,
we, okay? I'm speaking for you. I could definitely say you recognize it. If there's one thing on earth that we can agree on is that you recognize it. Right, all right. Good. So
no,
you
no,
and
no.
I,
we. You see this desire to speak on behalf of other people? Is their failing. That is their failing. Because they got to speak on behalf of
I am speaking on your behalf, you know.
So you speak, you say we all the time.
I am joining with you. That's what I'm doing. I'm joining with you.
Okay, but you got to spend more words to say. Because as soon as you say we, you got to be confused.
Something with you and we. I don't know what's wrong with you. You and us, we and lawyer.
I don't have no reason to speak for the body but me. I'm a lawyer.
I am joining with you, so we recognize that. What's the next step? Now, we put before
the
electorate about 5 or 10 parties that were not full of lawyers. And what happened? What did the public
do? They were skittled off the map. They were told, do not come back. You know, we don't accept this. Right now, the Democratic Party is pushing another lawyer again to run. They'll do it. You have to ignore it. You have to ignore whatever it is. If they're going to put these people to come forward, ignore them.
There's a natural connection between the legislature and lawyers. Just let us understand that. One.
Yeah, there's a natural.
There's a natural correlation between the two. A natural correlation between the labor movement and politics, and lawyers and politics. That is like.
What does natural mean?
Natural meaning is natural. It's nature. It's common.
But
that's what it means.
Stutter, man, because you
no, not stuttering. I am wondering. The only thing I can offer you now is the Serenity Prayer. That's the only thing I can offer you.
But you could be as serene as you want. I'm saying to you that yes, the legislature is supposed to be different to the judiciary. Judiciary is supposed to be separate from the administration. But in Barbados, it has the administration is even separate from national insurance. Then. So complete is the control that this fraternity has over Barbados. There is no separation between the different, even the central bank, with its contractual arrangement, reports to the Minister of Finance. So complete is the control this fraternity has over your lives. I mean, and it hasn't been allowed to go on and on. Suggest to me that you already don't recognize what the hell is going on here.
Who's we?
Are
you speaking for me?
Because I certainly do. So if I say this over. Well, maybe once or twice, because it's only been once before. It's pretty clear that when they don't understand the kind of gutter that y'all have been not gutter, that's insulting. The kind of cabinet that y'all have been thrown into and locked in, and you're just helpless to do anything about it. Unless you start recognizing, you're gonna start
do,
using.
Do me a favor when you get to second gear, give me a buzz back.
Right, let's do right? that.
Good. Thank you, Brass Stats. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
Well, I was having a good time.
Not like me.
No,
I would have gone to 1 o'clock. But I have a producer. If you didn't know, I have a producer. Okay, I would have gone to 1 o'clock. Cam. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Good morning.
I come to you today with pure positivity. No economics, nothing like that.
good.
About our Bajan society, one thing that I am absolutely certain of and has improved again is that we are by and large an honest people. My son-in-law was down on holiday, and on Friday, putting my grandson in the car to take him for a drive, he left his wallet on top of the car, and of course it disappeared somewhere down the road. On Saturday morning, a car showed up here, a gentleman looking for my son-in-law with wallet in hand. He's a bus driver. He drives a transport board bus. He saw the car pass. He was at the junction that would take you up to Fisher Point. I should know that junction then because he lived close by, but I can't remember the name of it. But it would take you up to Fisher Point side. He followed the car. The wallet came off. He stopped the bus. He picked up the wallet and carried on doing his work. And then went through the wallet, found a receipt for a restaurant, called the restaurant trying to see if they knew the person. They knew the person. They didn't know where he was staying. He also then found a Barbados driver's license, not driver, what you call it, driver's permit in the wallet with my address on it. This is where my son-in-law was staying. And found his way up to the house on Saturday morning to return the wallet with everything in it, including all of the cash. Not a thing was missing. I hope that he's driving his bus, and listen, I don't know if the transport board buses have things, but I, Corey, was so thankful to him and carrying on at such a rate, just like how Junior was just now, he was going, thanking this gentleman, that I forgot to get his name. Only when I got back inside and he pulled off, I said, oh shoot, I ain't got the man's name, but I know he works for the transport board. I intend to call the transport board after speaking to you here to see if they know who that gentleman is. Hats off to him. Hats off to our honest Bajans.
Correct. The honest ones. They are honest ones among us.
Well, you know, he will have the dishonest ones.
Correct. But thank you very much for sharing that. I think those stories we need to have from time to time just to remind us and to renew our faith in humanity.
Correct, Corey.
All right. Thank you very much for coming.
One quickie before I go. You find out how money you enter the economy yet?
You go ahead.
Goodbye, Corey.
Goodbye. Have a good day, sir. This one says, good morning. I want to look at this crime situation really seriously and closely. We are fighting a spiritual problem, crime, with physical tools. We need to fight this problem with spiritual tools. My suggestion is curing this problem is for government to hire Christian prayer warriors on a voluntary basis across the nation of Barbados. This one says, Hi, I have a suggestion for government to consider. In Antigua, senior citizens of 50 years old and older are given a $100 stipend against their electricity bills every month. My suggestion to government is to give senior citizens over 60 years old an allowance of $75 towards the electricity bill and $75 towards the water bill. This will help to alleviate some of the senior citizens' worries every month. Government can find this money through another avenue. Please consider this, Ministry of Finance. This one says, I am a Bajan living in America, and the last thing I want to hear on Brass Stats is about America. 25 to 11.